Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio. Hey everybody, welcome to Mini Crush.
Noel Running Late Edition.
That's every edition.
That's not true.
Oh, Noel, come on. You're one of those 10 minutes late guys.
Well,
it's all right.
Look, in the morning it's different, okay? I always record on a day where I have my kid, and it's a little bit tricky sometimes to navigate the pitfalls of single fatherhood.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Is that where we're going?
That's where we're going.
I'm
going
to post that picture on the Movie Crush page.
Why?
Because you have your fucking sunglasses
on
still. I
know, it's true. It's true. I do.
How you doing, frazzled?
I'm a little frazzled. I'll tell you, I've been listening a lot to this Purple Mountains record. Have you heard this?
Have I heard it?
Have you heard it?
Noel, I got an advanced copy of that from the man himself.
What?
Well, that's... R.I.P.
No shit. God.
Yeah, we should... we're talking about the late David Berman.
Yeah.
One of my idols...
I didn't know his stuff very well at all. I'd always heard the name and knew he'd struggled with addiction and depression and stuff, but I didn't really know his music. I knew the Silver Jews, but I heard this record.
Well, that is his music.
Yeah, exactly.
He was the Silver Jews.
For sure. But I heard this record right before, you know, he passed and, you know, took his own life. And it spoke to me in a really intense way. And apparently a lot of people had that relationship with his music and his very confessional but like sarcastic and super witty lyrics. And this one's no exception. But when you think about it after the fact, it really does listen like a
goodbye.
Like a goodbye.
Yeah.
And it's heavy, but it's a wonderful, wonderful album.
Yeah. David Berman was the lead singer and songwriter for the Silver Jews, one of my favorite bands, which was kind of started off as a Pavement side project. Bob Nastanovich and Stephen Malkmus have worked with him on the Jews over the years. And then he went away for a while. And in the interim, Bob Nastanovich put me in touch with Dave Berman because I was trying to get him on Movie Crush. And I have two emails from the man that I treasure now in a big, big way because he's one of my heroes. I have his book of poetry. And he died a couple of weeks ago. And it was very, very sad. Big bummer.
Really, really is. I mean, I don't want to get too heavy here at the top of the show, but my father actually took his own life. And so I sort of can relate in a way.
Sure.
Like of knowing somebody but not really knowing somebody and kind of, you know, finding out after the fact what they were really going through, that maybe it's hard for someone to even fully share that much of themselves with anybody, you know?
That's right. And that is a lesson in kindness and gratitude. And you never know what is going on behind closed doors, everybody. So be your best self and be kind to one another. It's tough out there for a lot of people, and they don't often show that face publicly. So...
And the FCC has actually proposed a 3-digit number for the suicide prevention hotline. It hasn't passed yet, but that's something because this is, you know, this is an important thing. If you feel like someone is in trouble and you want to report it, you should be able to do it without having to look up an 800 number. But right now the number is 1-800-273-8255. But look for new legislation that might replace that with
Man,
an easier to remember.
That would be
quick
great.
Dial. Yeah,
drill
for
it into people's brains like 911 was, and that might save some lives.
It's true.
That would be great. All right, Noel, we're going to move on to happier times.
Yeah,
because this is a Movie Crushers episode, which I do every now and then, where I troll the Movie Crushers page. Not troll it. That makes sound like
trawl
I'm,
it.
Trawl it.
Right?
Like I'm just like going on
fisher,
there to be a
fisherman
dick.
Of ideas.
I'm trawl the Movie Crushers page for just fun stuff. And it's usually like social studies stuff, but this time I found a couple of fun things via the Movie Crushers that I had not seen before. And have you seen this Batman AI script yet?
No, but I love it already. I've seen some AI scripts.
So what happened was, and this was, I can't remember who on the Movie Crushers posted this first, but a few people have at this point. This is a writer, a comedian and writer named Keaton Patty, who evidently, and I really hope this is true and not just a big fake, But evidently, the story goes is that he forced an AI bot to watch over 1,000 hours of Batman movies and then asked it to write a Batman movie of its own. And he published the first page. And I'm going to read that first page, Noel, because it's great.
Well, do you want? Should we split it up? Is it multiple characters?
Yeah. I mean, there's a Joker and Alfred and Batman.
Okay. So
how about I'll be Batman and you be everyone else?
Okay, sure.
And I'll read the stage directions.
Great.
Does that sound good?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Interior, traditional Batcave.
Love it already.
It's already funny. Batman stands next to his Batmobile and uses his Batcomputer. He's sometimes Bruce Wayne, sometimes Batman, all times orphan. I'm so glad you haven't seen this yet. All right, Batman speaks. This is now a safe city. I have punched a penguin into prison. Alfred, Batman's loyal battler, carries a tray of goth ham.
Eat a dinner, Mattress Wayne.
An explosion explodes. The Joker and Two-Face enter the cave. Joker is a clown, but insane. Two-Face is a man, but attorney. Batman speaks. No, it is Two-Face and One-Face. They hate me for being a bat. Batman throws Alfred at Two-Face. Two-Face flips Alfred like a coin. Alfred lands heads up, which means Two-Face goes home. Batman speaks. It is just you and I, the Joker. Bat versus clown, moral enemies.
I am such a freak. Society is bad. You drink water, I drink anarchy.
That's the line of the script. I drink anarchy. Batman speaks. I drink bats just like a bat would. Batman looks around for his parents, but they are still dead.
Oh, no.
This makes him have anger. He fires a bat rocket. The Joker deflects it with his sick sense of humor, a clownly power.
I have never followed a rule. That is my rule. Do you follow? I don't.
Alfred, give birth to Robin. Alfred begins the process, since it is his job. The Joker now has a present in his hand. He juggles it over to Batman.
Happy Bat Day, Birthman!
Batman opens the present since he's a good guy. It contains a coupon for new parents, but is expired. Oh. This is a Joker joke.
That's the cruelest Joker joke of all.
Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness.
Please let that be true.
There's an Olive Garden commercial that was generated very similarly that was out on Twitter a year or so ago.
God, I'd like to see that.
It's great. All of these are great. It is a thing. I don't know how it works exactly. Like, the stage directions is the part that throws me.
Yeah.
Or the whole thing. Like, it's so cool.
A coupon for new parents, but it is expired.
Oh, zing.
Oh, boy, that's great. Oh, you know what? I do have who posted that. Thank you to Jonathan McGrath. McGrath, the old pal, which is wonderful.
The oldest of old pals.
So
I needed that, Chuck, after that Berman record, man. Wow.
Yeah.
That gave me joy. That's amazing. It's so funny.
So next up we have from Kristen Satterley Pomazel is what I'm going to say. There's a lot of syllables in a row there, so I'm going to make one of them silent.
A very whimsical last name.
That's a great name.
I love it.
She posted something that she found online, which was a Buffalo Bill Tinder profile. Which was great.
Yikes.
Have you seen this?
No.
It's got his picture, first of all.
Amazing.
And it's sort of the shot of him when he's just casually leaning in the doorway when she pays a visit. At the
end
of the film.
Classic Bill pose.
Bill, 33 years old, 91 miles away. I like curvy girls. I have a dog. Her name is Precious. She's my world.
Yep.
My hobbies include midnight strolls, collecting insects. Kind of nerdy, but it's what I'm into. Making my own clothing and dancing when nobody's looking.
Oh, he does dance like nobody's looking.
Dry skin is a deal breaker.
It's true.
I love Bath and Body Works for the sole reason that their lotion comes in a basket. I date me.
Oh, that's funny.
That's the last line. And then shout out to Luke Harkle Road. In the comments for immediately posting, I'd date me so hard.
I would date the shit out of me. I didn't realize that Buffalo Bill was supposed to be 33. In my mind, he's older than that. I don't know why.
Well, that might have been a guess, but
could be.
Looking back,
seems about right, actually.
Maybe. I mean, he always seemed in his 40s to me.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah.
And he still does.
It's hard for me, though, like age stuff. Like, Kurt Cobain was 27 or whatever, and I look back now at him. And think of the Beatles, for example. Like, I think of them as being these, like, genius luminaries.
They were done by the time they were 30.
That's crazy. Yeah. I'm 36. It makes me feel like I've accomplished nothing.
Yeah. Don't go down that road,
no,
Noel.
No, I know. It's tough. It's a hard road to hoe.
I just learned yesterday that Marlon Brando was a year younger than me when he starred in The Godfather.
Oh.
They aged him out, you know, to senior citizen.
Sure, sure.
But still, good God.
Yeah.
All right, Noel, now we're going to move on to Linnea Barnett, who posted a really good social studies that I'm surprised I had never thought of before, and it is this. She says, okay, what are your movie no ways? Like when you know a specific theme, scene, or a shot is used and you refuse to watch it or have to leave the room. For her, it is eye stuff and dogs dying.
Ooh, yeah. I know any kind of animal death is a real trigger for a lot
needle
of people.
Stuff has always been tough for me.
Don't care for needle stuff. It's not so much the needle as it is the tourniquet. You know when they wrap the rubber band around and they make—
Tourniquets bother you.
They bother me.
Interesting.
That's very specific, isn't it?
Sure. They
I also,
all are.
I don't like cutting. I don't like cuts.
Yeah.
I don't mind hacks, like a whole, like a clean arm cut. That's fine with me. But like a scalpel cut or like a close-up of someone getting sliced.
What about a stab?
Freaks me out. Stabs don't bother me either.
So just a slice.
A slice.
Interesting. So like a Blood Brother scene would freak you out.
Yeah, I don't care for that. Mm. Definitely don't like a wrist cut.
Does that mean, well, sure.
There's a scene in one of the John Wick movies where there's a very out of the blue wrist slice.
Yes.
And I was not expecting it. And I walked away. I started pacing around the room as I walked away.
Yeah, needle stuff gets me. Of course, any dog or kid stuff now. I remember very distinctly the Pulp Fiction adrenaline shot to the heart. Just, and you know, Tarantino ratchets up the tension so well in that scene. It's hard to sit through if you're a needle phobe.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still a needle phobe. I've gotten good about it now at the doctor, but it used to really, really be an issue.
That one's a tough one, too, because it's like a stab from on high through like the breastbone,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
So that's a different
very tough
creature altogether, yeah.
I will say that the needles these days are different from the needles when I was a kid when I developed my phobia.
Uh-huh.
They've just gotten tinier and tinier, which is great.
It's true. How are you about getting blood drawn?
I'm fine.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those things where I've gotten over my needle phobia to the extent where I can do it. And I'm like, you know, I'm gripping the arms of the chair.
I look away, too.
I have to look.
Yeah. Oh, you have to look.
I cannot be surprised by the needle.
Okay.
I've got to see that shit.
Yeah, I look away.
Interesting.
And I always prepare the kind nurse or technician for my phobia and let them know.
I do too.
I'm probably going to start hyperventilating a little bit.
Oh, wow.
So don't freak out. Not hyperventilating. I just kind of breathe a little heavy.
Sure.
Preparing for it. The anticipation, you know, kind of is killing me.
Yeah. I had a bad one last. I had a physical a few weeks ago. And good news, everyone. I'm doing great. I just need to lose weight.
Yeah, same.
The doctor was like, dude, your labs are fine. Just lose some fucking weight.
Same. Mm-hmm.
He's like, it's up to you. Like, I have a very frank doctor, which I appreciate.
We should jog together, Chuck.
But, I hate jogging. We'll do something else.
All right, fine.
but where was I going with that? Yeah, so I...
deal breakers.
I had a bad blood drawing experience because she couldn't find the vein.
Ugh.
She was rooting around in there,
ooh.
And it's like, that. It actually started to... It was painful.
Yeah.
It wasn't, like, freaking me out. It hurt.
Right.
And she was very apologetic. Very kind person
of
that
course.
Was doing this.
I've luckily never had that.
Yeah. So I was just like, can you just re-poke?
Yeah.
I would rather that than the dig.
Right. What is the dig?
The dig is the needle's in your arm and she's moving it around looking for the vein.
What? Oh, no. No. No, thank you, sir or madam.
All right. Enough of that. Mm-hmm. We're triggering so many people.
Seriously.
All apologies. We'll start off with Sarah Stapleton. I don't even watch a movie about a dog because the dog always dies. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Margarita Saramago says, eye stuff for real. I wanted to watch Brightburn, but they showed the eye scene in the trailer, and I knew to avoid it.
Oh, what? I don't know the eye scene. Brightburn's sort of a superhero horror movie. It looks pretty cool.
I haven't seen it. My friend Annie is in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Have you heard anything about it?
Nope.
Okay.
I haven't seen it either. I need to see it. Our old pal, Debbie Frangadakis, great name. Mm-hmm. She says the same, eyes and dogs.
Really? It's like it's, that's the duo.
There's a lot of dogs in here. Yeah. Here you go, Noel. Brian Schlackman says slitting throats.
Yeah, I don't care for that.
I'm not a big fan of that either. It doesn't make me run out of the theater, but I will clench my butthole.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. No, I don't care for that.
Did I just say butthole?
You did. Is that a movie crush first?
I think so.
I love it.
Butthole's such a great word. It's so much better than asshole.
I mean,
asshole is what you call someone,
right?
But you don't refer to your own body part as an asshole.
I don't think so.
It's a butthole.
No, it's a butthole. Yeah, I agree.
Ruth Carroll Tuhay says, teeth and any animals. Yeah, teeth is obviously with my fake teeth. I'm very much triggered by tooth stuff.
There's a little short Japanese thing. It's called Haze, I think is what it's called. And sort of like basically like takes place in a type of hell. And there's a scene where this guy's navigating through this hellscape. And there's one part where he has to cross this really narrow bridge against a wall with his teeth clenched over an iron pipe.
And as he moves
side to side, the sound effects of his teeth grinding on this pipe will make your butthole clench.
Ugh. Couldn't do it.
It's bad times.
Old pal Sarah Lundberg says, anything to the bottom of the feet. She mentions a scene in Die Hard. It was too much for her.
The glass, probably. He's barefoot and he's...
She's Dame Finsta.
Yeah, right.
Shoot the glass.
Exactly.
Minal Datta says, sexual assault, of course.
Sure.
Message to the industry, stop depicting it graphically and stop using it as a plot device. Yeah, I hear you.
See, I don't know about that. As a plot device, what do you mean? What if that's like the whole character arc? What if that's the point? What if that's like part of the story? Are you saying you shouldn't depict sexual assault ever because it's off limits? Like, I don't know.
I'm not going to speak for her.
I'm speaking for the industry for like, you know, storytelling in general.
So, you know. What are you going to do?
I don't know. Like, I understand, like, a lot of people had a problem with Game of Thrones because it had some problematic depictions of sexual violence. I get that.
It depends on the context for sure.
Because they didn't have to do it the way they did.
Right.
But I think to say, let's not use this ever at all as a plot device, to me is sort of like, I don't know, brushing something under the rug that could be exposed in an interesting way.
Right.
You know?
I hear you.
It could be discussed in an interesting way. Anyway, I don't know.
It is certainly something people could debate.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Nicole Parks, old pal, says animals dying or shots of an IV drug use. Yeah. Spiking up in a heroin scene.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's partially needle.
Yeah, and for me, it's that tourniquet, baby. I don't like it. You get that thing.
A tourniquet and a needle.
A tourniquet and a needle, because it makes the vein pop.
Yeah.
And that's like, I don't know, the pressure of that, and then the idea of like sticking the needle into like a very popped out vein.
Yeah.
And like in Pulp Fiction, when you see him suck the blood into the syringe.
Yeah, that was a great
shot.
And
then shoot it out, you know, like that's how you do it, I think.
Yeah, he very romantically, I think he handles that in a romantic way almost in Pulp Fiction.
This is maybe a little problematic.
He sexes it up a little bit.
He does. You're right.
Interesting. Lauren Feeney is also on board. She says sexual violence is the only thing that's made me turn off a movie. I certainly get that, everybody. Lisa Paluzzi, dog or kid deaths just can't do it. Also have a really hard time watching characters that are racist. And even more specifically, characters that are the victims of racism. Yeah, that gets me more than... I mean, the racist stuff I can kind of block out, but seeing someone, really kind of any victim.
Oh, yeah.
Not just racism, but bullying and stuff like that.
Sure.
Man, I have a
hard
time. Makes
me mad.
Makes me really mad.
Yeah.
So mad, Noel.
Yeah.
Dodger Phillips says domestic violence for comic effect, like War of the Roses or Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
I think that is problematic. For comic effect, I have a problem with that, I think.
Oh, I love War of the Roses so much.
I haven't seen that.
I mean, it's a dark comedy about a husband and wife that get divorced and it just gets so ugly that,
right.
You know, they're battling each other physically at the end.
Got it.
It's never serious, but he doesn't like it.
That's
I
fair.
Get it.
No, I get it. And I'm not saying anybody's wrong. I'm just talking about, like, where is the line? Where should the line be drawn? Is there a line, you know, in terms of, like, what can or can't or should or shouldn't be depicted?
Yeah, for sure. And we'll finish out here with Lauren Barnes W. She mentions the eyes, but then she also says sexual violence, especially abuse against children, obnoxious sex scenes, close-up gore, blood gushing, slapstick humor. She said, all of this has gotten worse for me as I've gotten older. Yeah, taste can change over the years.
That's true.
Especially when you have a kid. That's, I mean, I can get through anything. I'm not one of those that'll turn a movie off.
Right.
But that shit will bother me and stick with me. And I don't mind that. Like, I'm one of those people that can, I think it's okay for a movie to upset you. And that's part of the experience for me sometimes.
Absolutely. Like, especially, like, think about a movie like American History X.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone would argue that it's a bad movie.
That tooth scene may be the worst thing I've ever seen.
It's got the teeth.
Yeah.
It's got the racism. It's got the victims of racism.
That was a tough film.
That's a very tough film, but it's, I think, now more than ever, a pretty important film.
Yeah.
A pretty prescient film. I mean, that stuff is very real, and they depict it in a very frank and real way.
Well, here's the great thing about movies, everybody, is if you don't like that stuff, don't watch it. I think it's okay for me to get upset by a movie, but I certainly get that people don't want to be upset by movies at all.
100%.
You know, it's a very personal thing.
I mean, that's why I think it's important to know what you're getting yourself into before you watch something, if you're that kind of person, because you don't want to be, you know, you don't want to, like, trigger yourself and have a bad time.
Right. Know? Totally agree. Totally agree. All right, Noel, we're going to finish up this week with a quick stream this. I've been watching a couple of new shows that I would like to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Are you watching The Boys?
No, I've heard it's good, though.
It's great.
Cool.
What is it on? Is that Amazon?
It's on Amazon.
All right. Mm-hmm. The Boys is an Amazon Prime show, and it depicts a very realistic sort of take on superheroes. Wherein superheroes are just part of the fabric of the country, and they are depicted in realistic ways with all their faults, and they are not always great people.
Yeah.
It is for adults, show is.
It makes me – the setup makes me think of Watchmen.
Yeah.
Just in terms of, like, let's discuss what a world with real superheroes would be like.
For sure. That is a fair comparison. Mm. Absolutely.
And don't they have, like, endorsements and things like that? And
yeah, they're superheroes in every sense of the word. Mm-hmm. You know, they make a lot of money. They're rich. They're sponsored. There's a corporation that sort of runs the whole thing, and that's a big part of the show. It's got Elizabeth Shue in it, as plays sort of the I guess she's like the CEO of the corporation and main handler of the superheroes. But it's just really great. And
what do you like most about it? Like, is it just the acting? The writing's good?
Writing's great. The writing is really, really great. And it's a cool concept. The acting is really good. And it doesn't – I don't know. It always surprises me.
That's important.
I think that's the deal. It doesn't go where I expect it to go.
Cool.
And the people don't always behave predictably, which I like.
That's great. I've been meaning to check it out. I definitely
will. You would definitely like it. And the other show, Noel, that I've been watching is Shrill – Adi Bryant's show, Adi Bryant from Saturday Night Live.
Oh, no, I don't know. I'm so not up on the current Saturday Night Live.
If you look her up, you'd probably recognize her. She's the best. Just listen to her Marc Maron episode. I've long been a fan of Adi Bryant. I hope we're related. I hope to have her on Movie Crush one day to talk about whether or not we're related, although she's from Phoenix. If she was from the Southeast, there might be a chance. But she's wonderful. I kind of loosely know her husband, Connor O'Malley. But she's great. It's a show on Hulu, and she is a plus-size woman who makes a show about a plus-size woman. And it's let me see here who the writer was. Here it is. It's Lindy West, and the book was Shrill, Notes from a Loud Woman, written by Lindy West. And so what Adi Bryant has done is adapted that book, but also brought her own life experience as a plus-size woman into the show. And it's very easy to say, like, that's what the show is about, but it's really about a woman living life.
Nice.
It's that simple.
Nice.
And it's people remark on the fact that she's overweight because you don't see shows like this. It should be unremarkable, and it should just be a show about a woman.
Yeah.
But because she's overweight, and that's part of the show because it's part of her life, that becomes sort of the descriptor for it.
Well, and it's interesting because I think we're living in such a problematic time in so many levels, but also such an interesting time where body positivity is much more of a mainstream thing.
Uh-huh.
And this is a great example.
Yeah.
And I think in general, like, people are encouraged to be who they are. And I think there's a lot less body shaming going on in the main, you know?
Yeah.
Like, even my kid, like, she's really into this artist, Billie Eilish, who is wears these baggy clothes and has this kind of, like, interesting style. But a big part of why she does that is because she doesn't want to be over-sexualized by the media.
Right.
So she wears these kind of baggy clothes so you can't actually see her body.
Right.
So a lot of kids are, like, influenced by that as opposed to, like, a midriff, you know, crop top Britney Spears kind of situation.
Yep.
So she's not, she doesn't feel body shamed at all.
Right.
Or feel, you know, and my kid's a little, she's a bigger kid, you know,
yeah.
and she's perfectly happy with
yeah.
her body type and doesn't
it's great,
feel shamed
man.
At all. It's great.
Things are changing for
yeah.
the better. And part of the show too is just the steady diet you're fed growing up in as people like our age and Adie Bryant's age of how you should look and how it was not like this at all. And everywhere you look, and especially, I mean, it's true for everyone, but especially for women, there's so much shame involved because all you see around you are those Britney Spears midriff videos,
mm-hmm.
and you're taught that that is beauty, and there are no other options.
Right.
This is the ideal.
Yeah. It's cool.
But there's more than one ideal.
There absolutely is.
And this is another great example of a show that, you know, we're getting to see these stories now that we were cheated out of for so long. Because she is the, you know, writing and directing. Well, I don't think she's directing, but writing the show, starring in the show, show running essentially, and producing the show. And it's just great.
Yeah.
So much heart, so much humor. It's so fucking funny. And she's so adorable and lovable. Like, I want to be her friend. Everybody wants to be Adie Bryant's friend.
I can't wait to see it. I have finally gotten into watching season one of Fleabag, and I think it's one of the smartest things I've ever seen in my life.
Right?
I think it's so funny, so approachable, so real, and just absolutely hilarious, and
yeah.
also like really dark and awkward, but not in a way that it's in a way that makes you want to keep watching,
yeah.
as opposed to like make you like all like cringy or squeamish or whatever. I think
for
it's
sure.
fantastic. I love it so much.
Yeah, and the another kind of through line for this shrill show is her, and this is I think where her autobiography or the autobiographical element comes in, is how much she wants to please people. And how little she is willing to accept back from people because she just wants to fit in and be and make people happy. And she talked about that in her own experience on the Mark Maron episode, which I highly recommend. Very relatable to the human condition, I think, for all kinds of people. So hats off to you, Adie Bryant. Love your show. It's a tight 6 episodes, which I love. And I believe it's already been picked up for a season 2. And I can't wait for that. So keep on killing it. And please come on my show. You're the best. I hope she's listening.
Me too.
Someone tag her.
Please.
Tell her Chuck Bryant's gushing. Her cousin. All right, Noel, I think we're going to wrap this one up. It's a little bit of a shorty, but we have scheduling issues today. So we're going to move on to part 2 coming up right after this.
I'm ready.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.